Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Things are looking very different in San Francisco, and I think it's got some 49er fans a little nervous about the upcoming season. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, Pearl, I'm going to just run down quickly the people who have left the building over the last few weeks. So Deebo Samuel, we knew. Dre Greenlaw, gone. Hufanga, gone. Guard Aaron Banks and Jalen Moore, tackle, gone. Charvarius Ward, gone. Kyle Juszczyk, gone. Backup running back Elijah Mitchell, gone. And Hargrave and Leonard Floyd were released. Now, there was a report yesterday that the 49ers really thought they were getting Joey Bosa. And why wouldn't they think they were getting Joey Bosa? He kind of got the inside track there with his brother, but that didn't happen. And Bosa goes to the Buffalo Bills, and we'll talk about that fit a little bit later. But now 11 of the 22 starters from the 2019 Super Bowl team are gone. Is it time to panic in San Francisco?
No, not panic. This is every single move you made is smart, right? What name one of those moves that is even slightly questionable? All the good teams look at age and contract number, and if the number is too big on either side, they get rid of them. So the Niners are, yes, they're overdue with dose of reality, but a lot of those moves I like. They made some mistakes over the last 5 years, and they're cleaning it up now, right?
Well, listen, it doesn't take away from the fact that you still are going to be relying on aging players at key positions. First and foremost, Trent Williams at your left tackle, who's 38. You know, you still have to rely on him. George Kittle is 31. You're still relying on him. Christian McCaffrey is 29. You're still relying on him. So you are still having to put a lot of faith into these veteran guys, and you also got rid of some of your depth. I hate it when teams get rid of offensive line depth. I do, but
oh my God,
I understand.
That deal was crazy,
but
though.
I get it. Someone else, obviously, you know, the Packers and the Chiefs both thought that these offensive linemen were worth it, and so that's what kind of makes me panic a little, because so much more is going to be on Purdy's plate, because if they get this contract extension done, and if it does end to eat into a lot of the money, right? You even had Micah Parsons, the Cowboys pass rusher, who can never take an opportunity not to troll on social media, responded to a tweet from Clarence Hill, who covers the Cowboys, who said the 49ers are gutting themselves. And Micah Parsons says, welcome to reality when you don't have a quarterback on a rookie salary.
So, I'm perfectly happy that we have Zimmerman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Doesn't know the name of his own defensive coordinator, but did have a good point on this one.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Again, Aaron Banks, 4 years, $77 million for a guard. I mean, that is risky to start with. Then the backup to go to the Chiefs.
Yeah, Jalen
which
Moore.
I think he'll be good because he's on the Chiefs, but still, has there ever been a backup offensive lineman who got a two-year, $30 million deal in the history of the NFL? So these Makes sense. And a lot.
Well, he's not going to be a backup for the Chiefs, obviously.
Right, but he was a backup this year. So
no, I think he was backup Trent Williams, though, so you didn't see him a lot. When you did, you liked him.
Has it ever happened? Of course not. Not even close. I'll bet you that's three times the biggest deal a backup lineman is. Anybody could start at lineman in the NFL today. This guy couldn't even start.
Well, they're desperate for Trent Williams, who's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. Here's the thing, though. The fact that the Chiefs signed him, doesn't that make you think, oh, they saw something? Like, if this was the... Like, I'm trying to think of who's just a bad team. Like, Browns, Jets, Jags, something like that. I'd be like, all right, peace, see ya.
Well, but they signed Donovan Smith and Juwan Taylor, both of who are penalty machines.
Oh, that's true.
I understand what you're saying. You're right. I did pause because it's the Chiefs. But generally, they had to make all these deals. I think the one to me that struck the most, like, Javon Hargrave was such a mistake. 4 years, $84 million on a line that already had so much talent. They screwed up the last couple of years. You got to clean it up. I think I kind of like the path they're on. I know that sounds weird. It reminds me of 2019. They got to the Super Bowl. Everything fell apart the next year, and they had an immediate reset. They sort of started thinking differently about the way they were going to build their team, and they got younger and tougher, and it worked. So they had to, Maggie. Where were they going with this current group?
Yeah, I mean, well, last year they're all in thinking they're going to go back to the Super Bowl, and everything obviously went off the rails. So.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have McCaffrey and they didn't have Ayuk.
Yeah, no McCaffrey, no Ayuk. I mean, some personal tragedies that happened off the field. Ricky Pearsall, you know, get shot. Yeah. Like, just everything went horribly for them, and now they're definitely doing a reset. Now, the funny thing is, so not to make it about my team, but my Buffalo Bills just did something like this. They got rid of a ton of guys last offseason. Everyone said, this is it. They're taking this huge step back. And what happened? They had the division sewn up by Thanksgiving.
Go Bills.
And got to the AFC Championship game. But again, very different, I think, when you're asking Josh Allen to be the tide that lifts all the boats, and then you're asking Brock Purdy. And this is what this debate will kind of always come down to. You can move the pieces on the chessboard around this team, but the question is, when you start paying Brock like he is a top five quarterback in the league, are you going to get the bang for your buck? Are you sure that he's going to be able to play well enough where you can say, all right, we're going to say goodbye to a lot of familiar faces and a lot of good players, but we believe in this 3.0, 4.0 version because Brock's the guy who's going to lead us there.
Well, okay. I
see what I'm saying there?
I should say, I don't think they pay him like a top five guy, though. Do you really think that he ends up in top five?
I think if he was not being paid like a top five guy, this contract would be done. And I know it's early still. It's only March, what is it, the 12th? I get that, but again, I don't, and nor should 49er fans, I think, blindly trust the front office that they get these things done quickly. They don't.
Right, but if they were going to give him $55 million, he would have taken it by now.
Well,
they're trying to get underneath that number.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. If he was going to get paid like a top five quarterback, I think he'd have a contract already.
I don't think he is, so I don't think they have to worry about paying him like a top five quarterback. Especially with inflation. If they say they signed, I think they want to come in at 50, a flat 50, which will make him about 7th or 8th. By the end of the contract, will make him 18th or 19th. I don't think that they want to really go all in on Brock Purdy because they don't have to. There's no market for Brock Purdy.
There maybe could have been. I mean, look at who we're talking about. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins. Is he going to get released? We're talking about Daniel Jones being in the...
Like, right. Those guys are all wildly accomplished and... Well, I mean, I think 3 years ago, Aaron Rodgers was coming off two MVPs. Brock Purdy's not in that league.
I guess, like, here's my thing. This is what I'm curious about for the 49er fans, and you can call us at 855-212-4227. How do you feel about it for this year? We can talk long term, and, you know, is the championship window closed? Who knows? But let's talk about it for this upcoming season, where Kyle Shanahan had always had an NFC championship game or bust mentality. Can you still have that with the 49ers? They're coming off a 6-11 season. They're clearly doing a reset here. Is it still, like, reasonable to say that the 49ers are going to be a Super Bowl contender this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, listen. The year they had 4 wins after the Super Bowl year. They came back. They were 10-7. Nobody took them seriously, and they kicked everyone's butt in the playoffs. So I think they got to, whatever that was, they got to get back to that. Remember, they were old enough to remember when their defense was dominant, blew people away. Look at some of the scores from last year. They were letting up 40, 45 points. This was not the Niners last year. And really, to me, everyone focuses on Brock Purdy and McCaffrey and Ayuk. let's talk about the defense. And let's start. They used to bring in young guys, and they used to be hit on every draft pick. And now the fact that they couldn't get an old guy, that's not the concern. They should be building this defense organically, and something went wrong with the system. Something just went awry, sure. And they became soft. I don't know what happened.
They got hurt, too. Dre Greenlaw was not in the tandem there with Fred Warner. Like, that was a formidable duo.
But 3 years ago, they were number one in defense.
Yeah, Hufanga was an all-pro. Remember
right, it
that?
Was. But yeah, then I think it was 3 years, 4 years ago, they were number one. Then they went with Steve Wilkes to number eight. And then they went number eight again. And now they've just sort of fallen off. They used to be ferocious. And the last couple of years, you have not been afraid of them if you're an opposing quarterback. Why would you be?
855-212-4227. Are the 49ers Super Bowl contenders this season? This season, because they're doing a lot of retooling. Now, they have four picks in the top 100, okay? So it's fine. And listen, to be fair to the front office, they have been awesome at some of the late-round picks, right? They've really hit on some of the fourth and fifth, you know, guys who you're kind of just hoping like they can be rotation guys even. They've found those guys who have become major starters and major contributors. But again, only four picks in the top 100. Still got to get the Brock Purdy contract done. And you've got some major guys coming off of injury that you're hoping for big bounce back seasons. Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, and you're hoping Trent Williams somehow defeats Father Time. So,
well, yeah, the other thing, look, the fact that the Chiefs signed their backup for $30 million says, oh my God, there are no left tackles out there. So you can criticize them for having an old left tackle. You're going to have to look around the NFL, get a tackle anywhere you can. I take a 38-year-old Trent Williams over his backup. And besides, let me ask you a question. Would you pay Brock Purdy now? Would you make him a top five paid quarterback too? I think they should play hardball. Hey, if you're getting younger and cheaper, look at the quarterback position too. Do not put all your eggs in that basket.
So the only reason why I would say I think they have to play hardball with Purdy and get him to, what, 55 or like a Tua contract or what have you?
I'd go lower than that, but okay.
Okay, but this is the only reason I'd say that. It doesn't generally work out well for the other teams that have played hardball like this. And I'll give you two examples. Washington with Kirk Cousins and Cowboys with Dak Prescott. They couldn't get to a deal. And what in Kirk Cousins' situation, they franchise tagged him twice and then lost him.
Okay. Yeah, I'd take that. Three more years of Brock Purdy and cost control.
Yeah, but then where did they go? Straight in the gutter. Until now, where they miraculously were able to lose and get Jaden Daniels. That was a dark period. They messed up the Kirk Cousins thing Washington did royally, and Kyle Shanahan watched part of that regime up close because he was part of it, the first part, with his dad. And then the second one was Prescott. Prescott, who also got franchise tagged twice and who's been basically getting over on Jerry Jones in every contract negotiation, where if they had just gotten to the table earlier, could have really made him cheaper than he is. He's still, by average annual, Dak Prescott's the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Right, but you're forgetting the upfront cost saving too, because they didn't have to pay Dak 2 years, so total cost is not that much different if he had signed early. And again, they could get Brock Purdy for 3 years now, and they would save $100 million on the front end, and they're going to end up paying it on the back end. So I think you're discounting the fact that, and even with Kirk Cousins, they saved a lot of money by not giving him a huge contract. So they got 3 years. They're like, we're not getting to the Super Bowl with this guy, so what's the difference? Which was a factual.
Well, but then they were in the desert, and
they got left.
And by the way, I mean, Kirk ends up
thank
going...
Thank God for them, because they got Jaden Daniels eventually.
Well, I know, but you had to wait 7 years for him, more, you know?
But I
don't think the franchise tag helps you, because it takes away a lot of your flexibility. You know, you sign a guy to a longer-term deal, lowers the average annual value, gives you more flexibility about what you have to pay up front, how it counts against the cap. This is why the good teams do it, mm-hmm. right? This is why the good teams pay their guys early. Your Philadelphia Eagles always do it. You paid Carson Wentz early. You paid Jalen Hurts early. You always do it. Yeah. You're the model.
How'd that Carson Wentz deal work out?
Well, whatever. I mean, they ended up trading him away and still got good draft compensation for him.
Yeah, I just don't think Brock Purdy is that guy. I think he's a very good quarterback. But again, what is the market? Who's paying $55 million for Brock Purdy? You think the Giants or the Jets, if they could get a hold of him? We argue about this. There is no way in a million years that they would want to build around Brock Purdy. He's got to be in that system, and the Niners know that.
855-212-4227. Okay, outlook for the 49ers, who are going over a major makeover. Pine Needle in the chat saying that it was quantity over quality that they lost.
Pain.
I mean, agree to disagree because we don't know how Dre Greenlaw is going to come back from injury.
Well, that's an overpay.
I'm just saying he was a huge part of your defense. I mean, Charvarius Ward, I understand, didn't want to be in San Francisco because of the personal tragedy of losing his one-year-old child. And he said it was too hard to be in that market. Like, too many things reminding him of bad times. You got to let him go. You have to, like, honor that. But I still think that he is a phenomenal corner. And I think the Colts definitely got an upgrade there.
Yeah, so, because those AFC South teams signing cornerbacks from good teams, that always works out well.
I'm just saying. And you lost your depth on the offensive line. So 855-212-4227. Do you consider the 49ers a title contender this season? And spare me the, we don't know what's happening in the draft yet. Like, you've got all year. We've got the squad. Am I right? Don't you think? Is there someone, is there something they would do in the draft that would move the Super Bowl odds? No shot. Unless they somehow, landed Travis Hunter, there's no way they can get that high up in the draft.
This is the team.
Yeah. But they might make one more cheap signing, or one or two more. So
possible. They also lost out on Joey Bosa, and I'm curious if the fan base feels a way about that.
I'm wondering with this team, especially because, you know, Perloff mentions it a bunch, how Shanahan, a lot of their identity is they feel like they can create stars, especially on offense. Oh,
definitely.
I wonder if some of these guys are going to step into now bigger roles. Are we underestimating the Kyle Shanahan coaching staff's ability to get the most out of them? Like, maybe they don't have to get a Joey Bosa because maybe Robert Saleh can pull one of these edge rushers who are young that they need to bring up, and then those guys play well. Kyle Shanahan get Ricky Pearsall to be a 1,000-yard wide receiver. Like, maybe there are things that we just don't foresee. The problem, I think, is that some of the guys you think still have to be good enough for them to be that good, McCaffrey and Ayuk, injured. So are those guys the same guys, I think, is the question. But there are some guys, bench guys, who may come up and end up playing really well for them.
That's possible. I think the bigger thing is, can Shanahan get more out of Purdy? Like, are we at the Purdy ceiling? Which I think was always the fear when you take Mr. Irrelevant, right? It's like, is this the best it can get? Now, to be fair to Purdy, I think he has actually gotten better. You know, he has developed. He was like a singles hitter, and then he turned into like a doubles hitter. I'm saying that is a positive.
But let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Purdy improve, or would you rather have that run game look like it did 3 years ago?
Both.
I don't even care about
McCaffrey.
I would have McCaffrey, my guy Isaac Arendo, and Jordan Mason just running down the throat. That's when they were at their best, when they were just an unstoppable running team. Even the version before McCaffrey, when Mostert and Matt Breida and all these little fast guys were flying, they have to be a run defense team again. And they got away from it last year. They gave the ball to Brock Purdy and said, throw the ball 45 times. That was not good. And then they got into some shootouts. I think they have to go back to where they were 3 years ago.
855-212-4227. 49er fans, let's get the pulse here. Panicking by watching all this talent walk out the door? And also, do you think that you can turn yourselves into a Super Bowl contender this season, 2025? Let us know. Again, 855-212-4227. Chat up and running. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. And we say good morning to our Infinity Sports Network affiliates. You can listen to us on SiriusXM channel 375 and on the absolutely free Odyssey app.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Manny is spinning some old school jams this week. I actually tried to introduce my daughter to the Fat Boys last night because we were talking about old school rap. And she's like, what is this? Is he actually making that sound with his own voice? And that was exactly what was happening. Yeah, so
I know, you realize old school, like if you do old school hip hop for her, it could be like Biggie and Tupac is like old school for her.
Yeah.
Her's 50 Cent.
Yeah. I know Ashanti and Fat Joe. Yeah. I mean,
Biggie and Pac are old school for me.
Are you kidding? ASAP Rocky is old school. My kid's 12.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a Rihanna's greatest hits, you know? She's like a classic at this point.
I think Sirius has an old school rap.
We have an old school rap. We have a classic hip hop station.
And okay, so
go check it out.
I heard somebody told me classic rock, for example, starts 10 years. 10 years ago is classic rock. So things that we think of,
classic rock is like CCR.
After 10 years, something becomes classic rock. It's really deflating. Trust me. So a classic rock station.
Like the Strokes is classic rock? The White Stripes?
They're too old. They're old school classic rock. Yes, that is classic. That's technically, It's my friend Seton from the Dan Patrick Show. Yeah. Used to work in rock radio. He's like, yeah, it's a 10-year mark. Then it becomes classic rock.
So what is... So what's
Bruce?
Yeah, so like what's creating...
That's dinosaur rock.
It's that's not from, yacht rock. That's different. That's Michael McDonald. That's a whole other genre.
60s and 70s is dinosaur rock. And then, but classic... I'm telling you, if you're a classic rock station, you can go back 10 years. So, for example, Nirvana is
that, beyond... That's dinosaur.
Yeah, that's... Well, I guess so. I still think of them as cutting edge, and they're from 35 years
ago.
Well,
it's funny. It's like, so you're telling me Rage Against the Machine is dinosaur
definitely
rock?
Classic,
that
definitely classic.
Definitely classic.
Classic rock at best. What year was that? 2000?
I guess. I mean, even earlier, probably late 90s. I think Woodstock 99.
No, I'm serious, Maggie. That's really old rock.
So like Vampire Weekend is classic rock.
Well, they still come out with stuff, but their first songs. I mean, they're not played on regular radio. You're not going to hear a song from 10 years ago on today's radio. Think about, look at the hits from 2015. That's old now. Yeah, I'm telling you, things move fast.
What was the number one rock and roll song in 2015?
Does rock exist anymore?
that's why I brought up Vampire Weekend. I kind of feel like they're still kind of doing it.
I don't know if they have rock charts, but yeah, generally. No, I was pointing this out in a sort of negative way that I remember when Seton, my buddy from Dan Patrick Show, told me that Nirvana was very, very old school classic rock. I was like, what are you talking about? and he was right. To a classic rock station, you'll hear Nirvana.
Yeah, I guess that makes a little sense. So the Grammy winner in 2015 for Best Rock Song was Ain't It Fun by Paramore.
Paramore is definitely old now.
Yeah.
They beat out Blue Moon by Beck and Lazaretto by Jack White.
I mean, Beck and Jack White, they might as well be the Rolling Stones and the Beatles.
Oh, my God. They're Kiss compared to the...
And EJ, you're a big rap fan. You know what I'm talking about. Things definitely. That feel new to you are probably... 20 years old now.
Well, rap is insane. Rap, it's like 3 years ago is old school. Like it's gotten ridiculous to me, which I actually kind of enjoy because it allows me to like listen to an old school station and I can get anything from 1985 to 2018. So I get all the, I think music sucks now mostly, so I get all the good stuff to me. Everything is encompassing.
Yeah.
It's like an all-inclusive resort.
Welcome to old age, EJ. You're gonna be like, yeah, it was better back when I was young, you know?
No doubt. They just don't make hits like they used to.
Yeah, they don't, yeah.
I've been playing a lot of like, I've been letting Spotify take the wheel on a lot of my shuffles recently, and I've been discovering great artists. And I'm like, oh, cool. This song's awesome. The guy must be new, right? I go to this band, or this rap group, Pac Div. The song was out in 2007.
Oh, my God.
I don't, like, every time I do this, it keeps giving me artists from, like, 2008, 2012. I keep thinking these artists are new because I haven't heard them.
Yeah.
And all the stuff is old. There's nothing good that's new right now.
And yet Bogush remains steadfast and loyal to Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah, classic rock.
Classic jam.
Yeah. Bogus, you agree that's classic rock now, right?
Yeah, it's dinosaur jam band. You're up there with the Grateful Dead and Fish and all those.
But like, I also feel like there should be
string
like a
cheese incident.
Like an exception for people who are still making new music. Like, Pearl Jam puts out albums, but they've been playing since 91. So like, are they both? Are they new and old?
Well, right, but their new albums are not the same. I think
they're
you
not
could
the same,
that.
But they're not bad. They're not a waste of time.
But they're not phenoms.
No, but...
I mean, the Rolling Stones put out an album like 3 years ago. It's irrelevant.
But like when I grew up here in New York listening to Q104, they play classic rock and people were not making new music.
Okay.
But with dead members.
Does it still sound the same, though? Because I guess for me, like what I'm noticing is like I can listen to Kendrick Lamar, you know, Good Kid, Mad City, and it's great. And that's 2012, 2013, or maybe not 2014, whatever it was. But then I listen to GNX. It's new, but it sounds nothing like Good Kid, Mad City. Like, is rock the same way? Like, does it sound, the same artists sound different now than they did 10 years ago?
I mean, Eddie Vedder is 55, 60. I mean, his voice is different, but it still sounds like a Pearl Jam song to me when they start playing the notes.
Mm. Interesting. 855-212-4227. This all started with Manny discovering the 90s.
Yeah, that was the 70s.
It was the 80s
right
last week.
There was that old school Michael Jackson that we just started with?
Oh no, that was actually SWV.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Music. Oh my God, I was thinking about Pete the other day because my kid found the Hall & Oates. Sam is in Greensboro, North Carolina. Massive
49er
fan. We're asking Are you considering the 49ers Super Bowl contenders this year? They've lost 11 of the 22 starters from the 2019 Super Bowl team. Hey, Sam, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good morning. And the answer is no. I don't disagree what's been done. We had, if not the oldest roster, one of the oldest rosters. But that being said, we just have too many question marks everywhere, and it's highly unlikely that all those are going to be resolved in one offseason. We are not good on either side of the trenches. We have made too many position groups now that you could look at. Linebacker, Ayuk, your number one receiver now coming off an ACL, MCL.
Yep.
The one move I do like, which hasn't proven out yet, it might not, but the tender for the second rounder on Jordan Mason is smart. You need insurance because
running back,
after
yep.
coming off. Still no guarantees with that, but hey, you got to try. But I will tell you also, our front office, ever since we've lost Adam Peters, that was our real rock star.
Interesting.
And I do think the talent on the field reflects the talent in the front office. And I know John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have these great reputations. But if you look at Kyle Shanahan, part of his unevenness beyond the fourth quarter is, if you look at his win-loss totals, he's kind of a first or worst type of guy. He mm-hmm. doesn't have a lot of 8-8 and that sort of stuff. It's either 6-11 or 12-5, but there's not a lot of in between. So,
yeah, Sam, I think we always blame that on the injuries, right? It's like either they're all kind of healthy or they're all kind of hurt, and that's the difference. But you're right. He is sort of a boom or bust kind of coach.
Wow.
Yeah, he is.
They have boomer bust players like McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do think we should sign Brock Purdy. He did take a major step back last year. I think that was his sophomore slump in his third year. But that being said, and there's a lot there, and some of it has to do with design and play calling. Mm. But the big thing is when he was at the top of his game, he had the quickest microchip. He was getting the ball in, and last year he started getting into hero play, holding onto the ball, and we were getting a lot of illegal receiver downfield because linemen can't be holding blocks for 7 minutes. So I do think there are some things to look at, but when you look at what the options are, what 15 teams in the league are looking for quarterbacks, it's not an easy position to find. You've got a guy.
Yeah, Sam, solid call all the way around. Thanks for checking in. He's right. Let's take the last point. There aren't a lot of quarterbacks. Like, you would think with the development, how they're treated in college, how much seasoning they can get in college these days, like Brock, who was, what, a 3-year starter, a 4-year starter at Iowa State, played a ton of games in college. You would think guys would be better coming out of college. Mm. And yet, we got the Giants and the Steelers who are duking it out over 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that we've raised the bar a little bit about what's good quarterback play. On paper, Sam Darnold just came off the like ninth best season in NFL history, and we're like, he stinks.
Well, how'd the first 7 years of his career go?
Well, I'm just saying, you're saying that there's no quarterbacks, but even the 20th best quarterback has better numbers than the first best quarterback in 1983. I just think that there's a high expectation of quarterback. Like, guys can play. Look at last year, 6 quality quarterbacks came in the NFL. So I kind of dispute that narrative. And there are a lot of good quarterbacks. Now, the problem is you can't – if you don't have a good quarterback, your team is dead in the water. If you have Will Levis, you're screwed.
Let's go to Tom, who's in Huntsville. The conversation veered toward music because Manny's discovering stuff from, like, the 80s and 90s, which is a thrill for the rest of us when young people decide to listen to our music. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, how are y'all this morning?
We're good.
I've never considered classic rock or Nirvana, for that matter. I've never considered it by a yearly thing. Like, classic rock is 60s, 70s, and up to middle 80s music, as early as Beatles and Rolling Stones. Of course, Rolling Stones are still making music. They're still classic rock.
Yeah.
Nirvana is never classic rock. It was part of the grunge generation.
Yeah.
It's grunge music. It's not classic rock.
I think you're right about this, Tom.
I've just never tied it to a yearly thing.
Yeah, it's the sound. I think you're right.
Right, exactly.
I think you're right. It's exactly. A genre. Tom, thank you for weighing in. Good to hear from you. Yeah, Nirvana's grunge, like Led Zeppelin, is classic rock because
I totally know what you mean. But there's
how to define it.
I this offer my friend Patrick O'Connor, who worked at Sirius's classic rock channel, and they said they have a rule at 10 years. Now, it might not have been called classic rock. It was called like old school independent rock or something. But he said 10 years and you're in. So he could play, for example, my favorite band, Pavement, made their last album in 99.
Yeah.
So they became classic rock way before I was ready for them to be classic rock.
Yeah. Like, it's true. I think Tom was onto something. Feels more like a genre than it does a time period. We see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about the 49ers. Our question to you, do you consider them Super Bowl contenders this season? Andrew Bogish has headlines for us. What's up?
And these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Put the Bills in the Super Bowl right now, and maybe they'll actually win it this time. The day after getting Josh Palmer for Josh Allen, Buffalo is signing Joey Bosa to chase opposing QBs. The former Charger guaranteed $12 million. Max value, $15.6 million for the coming season. Joey was apparently choosing between the Bills, the Dolphins, or joining his brother Nick in San Francisco.
The Bills make me wanna jump!
Baltimore is the next stop for veteran receiver DeAndre Hopkins and Jacoby Brissett signing up to back up Kyler Murray in Arizona. Tiger Woods, new injury, a torn Achilles, suffered while training at home recently. He had surgery yesterday, expects a full recovery, but no timetable for his next event. His last competitive round remains last summer's British Open. And now to basketball, the play that has blown Pearl's mind.
Nembhard will get it in. Here comes a three and a foul! A foul! A foul! As Halliburton, floating out of bounds in front of the Milwaukee bench, hits a three and draws a foul.
Mark Boyle, Pacers Radio. What he didn't tell you was four Pacers lined up in the backcourt for this out-of-bounds play. They basically ran crossing routes, getting Halliburton open on the left wing for that tying three. With 3.4 seconds left, Halliburton made the free throw for a 115-114 win over the Bucks.
Rick Carlisle drawing up the play of the year. Mm-hmm. I was watching it and I was saying to myself, this can't possibly work. What is going on here? And then it completely worked.
He likes doing those like passing routes plays on inbounds. He's very good at them.
Has he ever done that play though? Because yeah, they were saying that was somewhat unique.
He's run that against the Knicks in the playoffs. Like not necessarily sometimes to get a game-winning shot, but like to avoid a five-second violation when a team's trying to foul. He
put four guys in the backcourt and had them come up and cross.
Yeah, and run like they're running like post patterns in like the football. It's great stuff. So he's a great offensive coach.
I've seen it run as an out of bounds play, like along the baseline, the full 94. Because I think the thought is everyone starts out of bounds and defenders can't stand on the end line with them and guard them, so they get a running start at the defenders who are in the court waiting for them, and you don't know where anyone's going to go. And then they do the same thing. They're crisscrossing, going deep, going short, and it's supposed to just kind of create mayhem. And this one worked, and they got the foul.
Yeah. The foul was ridiculous. Giannis got was so confused. Everybody was confused. They all covered the wrong guy. It was not a good job by Doc Rivers either.
I thought it was funny, too. Halliburton said postgame that when they practice this, he normally doesn't get the ball, so he doesn't actually like this play. But it worked last night.
By the way, back here, I was celebrating thinking this was a Gonzaga highlight when Maggie pointed out.
Yeah, I know.
Because Manny's like, why are you celebrating? I was like, oh, I thought this was a Gonzaga highlight. We have a Nembhard.
That's what I thought it was, too. I pointed at EJ. I was like, Gonzaga won the conference tournament yesterday.
Yeah, here. Halliburton for three. I was like, wait, no, this isn't it.
I was actually thinking about that game last night. I was thinking this Gonzaga game is going way too late for EJ. EJ's going to be wiped out if he's actually watching this game.
Oh, I was up.
Yeah, is that why you were texting at midnight?
Well, that wasn't why I was texting at midnight, but it did coincide with the fact that Gonzaga was playing. But yes, I was up.
Did you sleep before that to be awake for them, or are you like on a bender all night?
Well, I usually take like at least two, sometimes three, 4-hour nap during the middle of the day.
We went from two to four, just like that.
Yeah, four is if I'm lucky. That's rare.
Yeah, you should not have picked a West Coast college basketball team to follow.
I didn't know that when I was 10 years old. I was like, you know what, these Gonzaga guys, they're pretty good.
They did win that game last night, 58-51 over St. Mary's. I believe it's the 20th West Coast Conference tourney title under Mark Few. Those Gales settle for an at-large bid. UNC Wilmington stopped Delaware's Cinderella run, 76-72 in the CAA final. Robert Morris won the Horizon Auto bid 89-78 over Youngstown State. And St. Francis of Pennsylvania upset Central Connecticut 46-43 in the NEC title game. And hockey last night, Ottawa 5-2 win in Philly while Columbus was losing in Jersey 5-3. The Sens now lead the Blue Jackets by 3 points atop the wild card standings in the East. Back to you guys.
By the way, the Robert Morris advancing brings back the oldest dad joke in college basketball history. Robert Morris is good, but how is he going to cover the other four guys? You guys, I've been making that joke since 1993.
I did that with Troy yesterday,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's even better. There's a couple guys like, Oral Roberts used to make the tournament.
Yep.
Yep. They're going to. Maggie's not cracking a smile on that one.
I didn't get it until way too long.
Robert Morris makes a tournament. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I was right with him. So have a kid and it'll change. I knew exactly where he was going.
Yeah, that kid pops out. And all of a sudden, you're like,
never
why
heard
did the chicken
joke?
Cross the road? It's just suddenly very exciting.
That's what he meant.
Robert Morris is one of those schools you never think about except the second week in March. You're like, oh, yeah, Robert Morris.
And my wife is going to have them winning at least a game or two because if you have a regular person's name as a school, that's one of her things in the ranking.
She'll probably beat most of us.
Like Troy, Robert Morris, if Oral Roberts was in, they would all have wins.
You consider Oral Roberts a normal name?
No, like a person's name.
Just a person's name. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Well, hopefully my GW Colonials, or excuse me, Rebs make it in.
James Madison, right?
Yeah.
Anyone tell me? I just saw it on the internet. So where Robert Morris is?
That one I see.
Pittsburgh, right?
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that one we know. Folks, thank you.
855. I didn't know.
St. Francis of Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh. I'm like, okay.
855-212-4227. We're asking you this morning, are the 49ers Super Bowl contenders this season? They're undergoing a major shift, overhaul. Lots of familiar faces out the door. Also coming up, quarterback competition, but is it real? We'll get to that next.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I've been talking about what is the actual definition of classic rock. Does Nirvana fall into that category? So Manny Obliged, welcome to the show. M&P, little music, little sports, why not? We're also asking you, are the 49ers still a Super Bowl contender this season? The early returns on our poll question on X-Pearl, a resounding no.
Yeah. Not surprised. But I still, and I agree that they're, well, actually, no, I'm not even going to say that. I would vote yes, and I think this is all good. If you're a Niners fan, you got to get young and hungry again. You cannot be this bloated old person team.
Yeah, but and, you're still relying on a lot of those old guys, bro. Yeah. Not so fast.
I didn't say it was perfect. I just said I like the mentality.
Let's go to Leland, big, big 49er fan in Sacramento. Good morning, Leland.
Hey, good morning, Maggie. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning.
Anyway, so I think that the 49ers are not contenders because of, you know, the huge, you know, talent vacuums that recently happened. You know, it's happening so fast, it's hard to keep track of everything, but there's like four starters that are not on the field anymore. And then they have a bunch of guys that left during free agency. So I don't see how they can make up the difference so quick with the NFL draft and, you know, other free agents that are coming. It's happening so fast, it's hard to keep track. But here's what I have, and if I'm, you know, repeating stuff you guys already know, let me know. Juszczyk, Hargrave, Collins, Floyd, Thon, those guys are on the field all the time. Aaron Banks, Joshua Dobbs, Jalen Moore, Elijah Mitchell, Charvarius Ward, oh yeah, Dre Greenlaw, he's gone. Talanoa Hufanga, gone. How do they make it up? I don't think they can.
But you just said guys, half those guys you just said were not on the field because they were hurt.
Yeah, I know Talanoa had some injuries.
And Dre Greenlaw, I mean.
He missed a lot, but still he's gone. And how are they going to make up that difference? You're right about the injuries.
Well, yeah, well, it's funny, though, because Leland, and thank you for the phone call, it is kind of head-spinning when 11 of the 22 players who started the Super Bowl in 2019 are now off the team. But, bro, they're still relying on guys who are coming off of injury, right? If it was Brandon Ayuk is coming off of injury, Christian McCaffrey is coming off of injury, you know, Trent Williams wasn't exactly the picture of health.
Yeah, this is why you have Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan's got to earn that reputation this year. And also, I definitely think we keep talking about this. Remember, they used to be a defense-first team. Whatever happened to that? You have Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, two surefire Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
I think surefire Hall of Famers. So why aren't you great on defense, too? I think people got to talk about that. Again, these guys like Dre Greenlaw and Hufanga, these are all late-round picks who fit into a system perfectly. So maybe they can recreate that. So I am squinting and saying this is where the coaches have to earn their money. And, you know, Shanahan and Robert Saleh is the highest paid defensive coordinator in the NFL.
Yeah.
Earn that money.
Well, we also had a caller last segment who said the real secret sauce here was Adam Peters. And, you know, he's now the general manager of the Washington Commanders, who just made a surprise run to
the
NFC Championship game. Was he responsible, you know, air quotes, for some of the late round picks?
Well, could be. I mean, actually, they had a pretty good draft last year because they got, everybody loves Dominic Pooney, who they got in the third round, is on all the rookie teams. So he's a guard. And then I don't know who picked Ricky Pearsall. The guy got shot.
I know.
He was very productive at the end of the season.
And they paid D'Amador Lenore. Like, it's not like they've totally let everyone go, but it's going to be an interesting one.
Lenore, another six-round pick, I think. So they have done this in the past where they've filled guys in. They've filled late-round guys in. I kind of like it because I did not like a lot of the energy around the team last year.
Well,
for obvious reasons.
Yeah, things were just going south. It just now the degree of difficulty becomes a little bit bigger just because, again, we think they're going to pay Purdy.
But again, look at the guys that Leland just listed off. A lot of them were mistakes. Javon Hargrave, Malik Collins. Saleh came in, looked at the tape and said, I do not want these guys on my defense. So I am not going to hate them for that.
855-212-4227. So that's a little snapshot of what's going on with the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. Over in Indianapolis, we were waiting to see, Pearl, who the team was going to bring in to be competition for Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson, who was benched at one point last year because he took himself out of a game in a crucial moment. You never see that from a quarterback. And he kind of, like, after it happened, you know, he kind of looked around like, what? Like, I don't even think he understood the grave mistake that he had made at that point. Like, he kind of pulled like a, was that wrong? I'm sorry. I didn't know I couldn't take myself out of a game. And basically what it underscored was his lack of experience and maybe a lack of maturity. So now they want to bring a little competition, and they've done that by way of Daniel Jones. So Daniel Jones, The Giants cast off now is on a 1-year, $14 million deal. Do you think this is a real competition or just to scare Anthony Richardson?
That money says it's a real competition. I mean, they benched Anthony Richardson last year. I don't think it was really the pulling yourself out, but also the guy completes 42% of his passes.
Yeah, but who's responsible for that? You took a flyer on someone who had 13 college starts, basically.
Right. I'm just saying, I think he was benched because he wasn't playing well. So my point being, I think Daniel Jones can legitimately outplay him and get on the field. Now, I'm a big Anthony Richardson fan. I'd like to see it work. But at 1 year, $14 million to me says, oh, Jones has a great chance to play. I don't think this is a scare tactic.
Man. Wouldn't that just be such an admitting of defeat, though, by this front office, who, when you took Anthony Richardson, you knew that this guy was going to be a project. Now you're surprised that he's a project? Like, that's on you guys. If Daniel Jones beats out Anthony Richardson, the front office doesn't look good. They look horrible here. And it's funny, I saw the conversation yesterday on some other networks and stuff. You know, we keep an eye out on what people are talking about. And I saw Dan Orlovsky was wondering if Anthony Richardson would now ask for a trade. Like, Daniel Jones can't scare you that much, dude, where all of a sudden now you're going to ask for a trade. Where are you going to go, first off? And secondly, you got to be able to compete with Daniel Jones. It's not like they're bringing in, you know, Aaron Rodgers or something in his prime. Come on.
Right. Well, it's interesting that they did not go with Rodgers, who was in the mix reportedly for that job. So let me ask you a question, though. You said it's admitting failure. Who cares? You've already made the mistake. It's a sunk cost. You got to move on and make the best decision for what's this year. Now, the thing is, Anthony Richardson is 22, but don't put him out there just so you can defend your pick. That's a bad GM mistake, playing a guy to defend your pick.
I get that, but sunk cost, you knew he was a work in progress, right? This is not the finished product.
You thought he'd be better than he was last year.
Whose fault is that?
His.
Not the coaches. Coaches don't wear any of this. You got Shane Steichen as their head coach, who's an offensive-minded coach.
Yeah, great coach. Great play caller.
Who wanted, like, a dual-threat quarterback, right? Because what he did with Jalen Hurts with your Philadelphia Eagles when you guys won the Super when you got to the Super Bowl and lost to the Chiefs the first time. I just think that the coaches have to wear this. The GM has to wear this. Like, guys, Andrew Luck retired a long time ago, and I still feel like this team is using that excuse of having this constant revolving door QB.
So when you say wear it, though, does that mean that they're not supposed to make the smartest decision about how to make the team good this year? You're right. It was probably a mistake to take him at number four, but that mistake has already been made.
Yeah.
You got to try and win as many football games as possible.
And what about Daniel Jones's history makes you think he's going to win games?
Well, Shane Steichen, to me, I always think of Shane Steichen. He tells his quarterback to escape to the right outside the pocket. And Daniel Jones loves to run.
Yeah, and then
guy
what happens?
Scrambles like crazy.
And then he gets flattened, even though he's a big dude. Yeah, Daniel Jones is like 6'5", and he gets hurt all the time when he's running.
Or he trips over the 5-yard line.
Yeah. Well, that happened famously. Yeah.
Still ran for almost 800 yards 1 year. So, yeah, I mean, it's a risk, but they were in a desperate situation.
See, I don't think this is a real competition.
You think it's Richardson?
I think it's Richardson.
Until he screws up. Then,
or he gets hurt.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He gets hurt all the time.
855-212-4227. Do you think that Daniel Jones is real competition for Anthony Richardson? I see this totally different than someone like Orlovsky or whatever. I don't think Richardson's going to ask for a trade. Come on. Coming up. Do we have one new title contender?
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.